Well, welcome everybody to the second week of our series called Built Different. When someone is built different, it means that there's something special about them. They're not average, they're set apart, a cut above. But here's the surprising thing about Easter. The resurrection means you are built different. Not because of your talent or ability, but because of what God has done in you. When Jesus rose from the dead, he made it possible for every single one of us to become a new creation in him. He didn't just give you a new and improved version of yourselves, slightly better than before. He gave you a whole new life. You're not like you were before. And as we said last week, you have been raised, not repaired. Your life, your story will never be the same. You might look the same on the outside, but on the inside, you are built different. And that difference is showing up more and more every day until eventually people will look at you and say, you know that person? They're just built different. One way you're different is that you begin to see life in a whole new way. You begin to see what really matters. And that's what I want to talk with you about today. I want to talk with you today about uncommon clarity. Sometimes life gets out of focus. Our priorities get mixed up. We're not sure what the next right thing is. We get worried. We go around worried about the future, stressed over finances, frustrated with the boss. And you know, it's not like there aren't enough experts out there telling us what to do. It's not like there aren't enough voices calling for our attention. We don't live in an information vacuum, just the opposite. The problem is too many competing demands, too many claims on our time, too many things to get done. And when life begins to feel confusing, it's easy to reach for a quick fix. You know, some people try to organize their way out of uncertainty. They'll buy a new planner, they'll color code their calendar, maybe even remodel their workspace. Or they'll scrap everything, quit their jobs, move out of town, and think that will give them clarity and a fresh start. Others begin a new relationship, or they double down and work harder to get that promotion, or they just go out and buy a fancy new toy that will distract them from the problem. And some people just read endless self-help books. These strategies may work for a while, but they usually don't last and sometimes can backfire. True clarity comes when we stop trying to do everything on our own and start taking small, steady steps of faith. When you draw closer to God, life comes back into focus. You begin to see what really matters and what really doesn't. You begin to experience uncommon clarity. In today's gospel, Jesus had just died on the cross, and everyone was in a state of confusion. His disciples were running scared. They started questioning everything. For 3 years, they had followed this man, hung on every word, witnessed every miracle, believed in him with their whole hearts, and now he was dead and buried, gone forever, or so they thought. But then something remarkable happened. Jesus came when they were behind locked doors, and he came and he stood in their midst, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed at seeing the Lord, but I imagine they were also rubbing their eyes with disbelief, wondering whether they had just seen a ghost. The whole thing seemed impossible. But then Jesus breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And that one act, giving them the gift of the Holy Spirit, brought the disciples instant clarity. And that's when Jesus sent them out as his messengers into a confused and uncertain world. But one of those disciples, Thomas, was not with the others. And when they found him, they told him they had seen Jesus alive. But Thomas said, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." For a whole week, Thomas stayed in a state of confusion. Nothing was adding up. Everyone around him was saying Jesus was alive, but how could he believe that? How could he believe? He hadn't seen it. How could he believe those claims unless he had seen it with his own two eyes? For 8 days, Thomas lived with unrelenting uncertainty. Are you in the middle of your 8 days right now? Everything seems a little blurry, mixed up in your mind. Maybe you're not sure what to focus on now, where to go next, what to do first. You look around and everyone else seems clear on their goals. They're forging ahead with life, checking off their to-do list, getting things done, making progress, but maybe you feel like you're going nowhere, like you're spinning your wheels. It might seem like that, but the truth is a lot of people are in the same boat. You're not alone. So much of the world is in a state of confusion today. And on the surface, it might look like other people have it all. You know, they're living the life. They're checking every box society says will lead to a happy and successful life. From the outside in, it's picture perfect. But just behind the facade, there's often a quiet struggle going on. Despite the external signs of prosperity and accomplishment, there's a nagging feeling a lot of people have that won't go away, a feeling they rarely share with others. Deep down on the inside, they know something's missing. They know something vital just is not there. What are they lacking? Clarity. Clarity about what really matters. And clarity only comes from faith. A genuine relationship with Jesus Christ that grows deeper and stronger every day. It's the only way to clear up that confusion and put life back into perspective. It's the only way to have uncommon clarity. Years ago in my 20s, well, who am I kidding? Decades ago in my 20s, I went to a birthday party for the young son of one of my friends. It was springtime in Atlanta. The weather was warm and fine. We were all gathered outside to celebrate, you know, balloons, cake, the works, everybody having a great time. Well, I came into the house to get an extra plate, and when I opened one of the cabinets in the kitchen, a coffee mug that had been teetering on the top shelf came crashing down. It splintered into many different shards, and one of the shards ricocheted off the counter and sliced right through my wrist. At first, I thought it was just a scratch, but then came a tremendous amount of blood. Now, I don't mean to gross you out, and please don't pass out, but when I looked into the wound, it was very deep. I could see tendons. I could even see the bone. I still have the scar. Well, everyone came running in to see what had happened, and I was starting to feel woozy, like I was going to pass out. So I asked my friends if they could please drive me to the emergency room. Before I could say anything else, my friend bounded up the stairs of his house looking for his homeowner's insurance policy. Meanwhile, I'm downstairs getting more and more lightheaded by the second. The bandage they had put on my wrist just wasn't doing the trick. Blood kept pouring out. Well, he finally comes down. He says, I'm sorry, I can't find it. I'll look in a few more places, like the garage, the basement, every drawer in the house. I'm thinking to myself, are you kidding me? I'm about to bleed out right here on your kitchen floor, and you're worried about a piece of paper. In that moment, I had utter and complete clarity about what needed to be done. Forget the blankety-blank insurance policy. Just get me to the blankety-blank hospital. You can fill in the blanks. You know, there's nothing quite like a potentially life-threatening emergency to help you get really clear, really fast on what really matters. If only we had that kind of clarity all the time. 8 days after his resurrection, Jesus came through locked doors again to see his disciples, and this time Thomas was with them. Jesus gave Thomas exactly what he thought he needed, the opportunity to inspect and put his hand and to touch the wounds of Christ. But did you notice that the passage never says that Thomas actually put his finger into the nail marks? He never actually put his hand into the side. Instead, all he really needed was to truly see Jesus. And that's when Thomas moved from not just doubt to faith, but also from confusion to clarity. From confusion to clarity. And then he uttered one of the most powerful and profound declarations in the New Testament when he said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." He was talking about you and me, future generations of believers. Soon Jesus would be gone again back to his Father in heaven, and all that would remain would be the word of the apostles and those who believed them. The ancient world where Jesus lived was similar to our own in a number of ways. For one thing, people back then also chased after status, success, and prosperity, just like today. Their lives were stretched thin and distracted, just like today. But after the resurrection, the early Christians had uncommon clarity. Instantly, they knew who Jesus was and what really mattered. That's why today's first reading said that they devoted themselves to prayer. They shared generously with each other and with the poor. They gathered often. They lived with hope even in hard times. They didn't hop around from one thing to the next. They didn't pursue wealth or worldly success. They didn't seek many of the things that you and I seek. They weren't pulled apart in 1,000 different directions. They had clarity. They knew what was important. They knew what life was all about. Simple things like just gathering for a meal, sharing a meal together, or being in each other's company became joyous experiences for them. They lived uncluttered lives centered on Christ. Simple, uncomplicated, but absolutely clear on purpose and direction. Last year, St. Hilary went on its first international missions trip to the Dominican Republic. 10 parishioners, ranging in ages from 14 to 80, spent the week in a low-income area of that country called Hatamayor. And the people there struggle with things every day that you and I can only imagine. You know, clean water, reliable power, nutritious food, safe housing, affordable education, access to health care. These are basic necessities that are in short supply in that region. And over time, we plan to address many of those issues, but it was still early in the process. So the point of our trip at first was to build relationships, get to know the people. We visited them in their homes, prayed with them, and learned about their needs. We also tutored students in a Christian grammar school, you know, that served the poorest of the poor and was struggling to survive. And we witnessed firsthand the good work that a lot of people were doing to help the community. And every evening we would come home to a modest but comfortable hotel. We'd go to our rooms, wash up, and then gather for a simple meal under a grass hut. And after dinner, we would pray together, talk about our day, and share whatever was on our hearts. A few nights while we were there, one of our team members even taught some of us how to dance the salsa. Take a look.
Now, when I say one, then you move 90 degrees to your right.
A lot of fun. See, there were no televisions, no computers, no video games, no gadgets, no high-tech amenities to distract us, and only the spottiest of internet connections. But for that one precious week, we lived like the early disciples in today's first reading. Joyful, uncluttered lives centered on Christ. We came to love each other and the people we served. And were full of undeniable meaning and purpose. For that one blessed week, we all knew what really mattered. We all had uncommon clarity. The resurrection did not remove every challenge from the disciples' lives, but it did give them something even better. It gave them clarity. It gave them what the Apostle Peter in today's second reading called a living hope. so that they could move away from scattered lives to centered lives. They began to see who Jesus really was, just like Thomas, and who they were in him, in Christ. And when that becomes clear, everything else falls into place. You stop chasing after 1,000 different things. You stop feeling overburdened and overwhelmed by life's daily demands. You stop drifting and start feeling anchored. Your life becomes centered, focused, and clear. And God gives you the one gift this world can never give, but so desperately needs, the gift of uncommon clarity.